Well, that's it. Go home. All right. Well, you know we're here for the Feast of Trumpets, and just wanted you to hear one of the types of trumpet blasts that they have. It's not just the shofar. There's just the bull's horn. This is more of what they call the silver trumpets as well. And on the Day of Trumpets, they had lots and lots and lots of that type of thing going on. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit and tie it in with some other aspects here today. Many of you remember the time of a 62 missile, Cuban Missile Crisis period where, well, Herb, forgot his name for those days. If I remember right, was activated. He's in the Marines at that time, and he went somewhere to sit out. But I remember we were, since I'm so much younger, we were in school, and we had our little fire drills. In this case, it was the fallout drill. And so we lived in Los Alamos, New Mexico, where the hydrogen bomb, nuclear bomb was made. So that's kind of a main target, I would think, if they had a war. But we were told to get under our desk if we heard the air raid sirens. 20 megaton bomb goes off. Sitting on your desk really doesn't do much good, but it made us feel better. But, you know, that was a scary time. And if you look into the history of that, it's a good thing that their intelligence from the American side, they did not have all the facts. There were a whole lot more Russian people, soldiers and the like in Cuba than they ever anticipated. But fortunately, I think that if they had known that, it would have been quite unfortunate. They would have probably had a war. But anyway, you might remember we would have drills. Nowadays, if you hear a siren go off, it's mostly because you have a tornado coming. You hear that sound. So it catches your attention right away. But before it was air raid sirens, when you hear that, you perk up right away. And even when you heard that trumpet, you kind of perked up because of, what is this? It gets your attention. That's the whole purpose of it. And on the Feast of Trumpets, which we're here to observe, in the Hebrew, it means this is the day of great noise, the day of great noise, where they make a great noise with the trumpets. And it had a lot of meaning for ancient Israel. Let's go to Numbers as we start out here. Numbers, the 20th chapter. Numbers 20. And we'll start at verse 2. There were all kinds of different trumpets. There were some silver trumpets, as we'll talk about later. They were used by the priest in the temple area. And then there were two of those. And they had certain blasts and certain things they would, blast out with the trumpets. And then there were a lot more of the horns, the ram's horns, the shofars, that were used by people not in the temple service, but outside of the temple. And many times they would sort of relay a message throughout the nation because they didn't have electricity, obviously. And so they would pass on the sound of the trumpet blast through the nation when needed. All right, let's go to Numbers 10. Numbers 10. And I'm going to start here in verse 2. Numbers 10 and verse 2. When they blow both of them, what are they talking about here? Well, let's go up to verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, make two silver trumpets. So that's why we said this is two silver trumpets. For yourself, and you shall make them of hammered work. They'd hammer it out. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camp. So when it was time for the whole nation to move, those particular silver trumpets would be used, and it had a certain tonality to it, and the people would know, oh, it's time to move. God's decided it's time for the nation to move. When they blow both of them, verse 3, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So there's another indicator when they both blew. So again, getting the attention of the people. But if they blow only one, then the leaders of the heads of the divisions of Israel shall gather to you. So there was that contingency was set up. So they both go off. We're on the move, but we got to do this thing. And then if it's one, they do something else. When you sound, verse 5, the advance, the camps that lie on the east shall then begin their journey. So the different tribes are set up in different ways around the tabernacle. They call it the tabernacle of the wilderness. And he says, and there was a structure. They didn't all just get up and start going. It would have been a mess for millions of people to do that. So he says, okay, the tribes off to the east, they start going this way, and they would move out in a regimented form, a regimented way. So you can see here some of the use of this. Let's go to Joshua, just a few books over. Joshua 6. Verse 4, the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns. So this is now talking about more of the shofar. Not the two silver trumpets. Those are two that are set aside for the use that we already mentioned. But the seven priests, these are the Levitical priests, shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. So when the ark starts to move, they would play their unique horns with their unique tonage, or I guess you call it music. But the seventh day you shall march. Okay, where did I go? And the seven priests shall, verse 4, the trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. So they're going around Jericho. And there are miracles about to take place. And so they would go around 7 days, blowing the trumpets and doing these different things, and the walls came tumbling down, as you know the phrase. Until just very, very recently, archaeologists said this thing about Jericho wasn't true. They couldn't even find Jericho. Then they found, I'm quite sure what they found here, just not too long ago, the last 20 years. And lo and behold, the city, the walls were burned, but, you know, most walls, they get hit, they go this way. These walls were broken from the bottom and went like this. And that's the way the scripture says that would happen. They fell like this. And they'd never, and then they looked around pretty soon and they found out this is the city of Jericho. So it is quite interesting when you see that. So you see the things are using the horns here, the ram's horns, if you will, for this use to gather, in this case, gather the attention of the people as well as the people in Jericho. They probably thought, oh, what is this kook doing? He's having these people sing, play these goofy things, and then pretty soon God worked a miracle there as they obeyed him. We've already read that one. So there's various ways of things that we do here. Now, when you read through the book of Revelation, you'll see that lots of trumpet blasts are mentioned. And these trumpet blasts are also called the voice of God, the voice of the Lord, if you will. God is pronouncing something. You remember when the children of Israel were coming out of, they came out of Egypt, they stopped at Mount Sinai, and they could hear God's voice in the lightning and the thunders, but they could also hear what he was saying. And they got so terrified, they said, Moses, you talk to us, we don't want to hear this. Personally, I think, wow, you guys are really blowing a wonderful opportunity. But they were terrified, because when God speaks, he has great power, and he's wanting them to know that. I'm the one who took out the then greatest nation on earth and just destroyed it. So when I talk to you, I want you to listen. And, well, he would blow his trumpet blast, and these were the voice of God. Let's go to Revelation 8. We'll just very quickly go through this. Revelation 8. We talk about the seven seals, and I'm not going to go through all of this because it's not a prophecy sermon, but just want to show you, again, God uses this theme of trumpets as a warning, as getting attention to people, as calling people to service, to prepare them to move when God wanted to move his people from one place in the desert during their 40 years of wandering. They would get this message. Sometimes it was just a message for the leadership. Other times it was a message for everyone. Okay, Revelation 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. So they open the seal, there's a quiet period. If it was literally half an hour, we'll see, but we don't know. But it was a quiet period. We'll see that. Okay. And you'll see this over and over as we go through here quickly. And I saw the seven angels stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Okay. So really what today pictures is, we know a time we heard in the first sermon, a time of war, a time of difficulty. You can bet in Japan, with these missiles from Rocket Man, as the president calls them, and then, you know, they haven't really been threatened like this since World War II when they were being bombed by the Allies. And anybody who survives is still alive from World War II. This must bring back memories that haunt them. It's a terrible time. But they will hear these sirens go off. They've been hearing them right lately. And it's scary. See, that they had a trumpet blast to go there. So it's scary for them. And, you know, and again, like the older people who lived through that, when they heard air raid sirens and then the city was bombed from all the way across, the same thing happened in Germany. That was one of the first wars where civilians were in the battlefield in a major way. For example, it was figured 600,000 German civilians were killed by Allied bombers just because they were just bombing the cities. And then the British lost a ton of people because the Germans were bombing the cities, you know, especially. So it was a terrible thing that happened. But the point is you'd hear these air raid sirens and people would look up and they're scared, they got their attention. Well, this is the same thing we see here. So the seven angels are seven trumpets. Verse 3. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. So it's all symbolism here, but it's an important story result. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which were before the throne. Again, this whole aspect here of the tabernacle, then the trumpets, and the first trumpet in verse 6, then the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound, so they would give off this sound. So in the future, there's going to be trumpets, whether or not it'll sound exactly like what we think of a trumpet, or it'll be something that people will know, something supernatural is taking place here. And they're going to, and pretty soon they'll realize this is the voice of God saying something is about to happen. But he says here over and over and over, the first angel, verse 7, sounded in hail, and this is a lot like the very same plagues that happened in Egypt, ancient Egypt. Hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. A third of the trees were burned up, and the green grass was burned up. Then the second, so here, this destruction of the grass and all the green things, if you will. And God, before that blast, there was a moment of quietness. And you'll see as you go through these things, that moment of quietness is to see if God says, anybody repent yet? And if they repent, then they don't have to go through any more of these things. He'll protect them. How? I don't know. You know, God, that's past my pay scale. Okay, verse 8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And that sounded like it's a lot of what happened in ancient Egypt. The rivers became like blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So these supernatural things, and each time a trumpet blast would come, why this devastation coming? Because God is trying to get people to repent. And it's strange that those people who God has called down and they've repented, they don't have to go through these things. But if you haven't repented, then you do. Verse 10, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it had a third of the rivers and a third of the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. Would all that, is that like a huge meteor, or is that just some kind of supernatural event? We'll have to wait and see. But anyway, the point is these trumpet blasts, then the fourth trumpet blast, verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third, what did he do? He sounded this trumpet blast, and the sun was darkened, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So there's some kind of event that happens. You only see a third, one third. You know, we're not here trying to figure out the hows, but just say that's what God says, and you see these things, you go, whoa. And so you read through here, and we don't have a lot of time for that, but when you read through here, you'll see that God waits to see if, but then he says, but they didn't repent. They didn't repent. So, okay, here comes another one. So he's trying to get their attention through the suffering. And those who repent are protected from any further things that have to go on. I won't go there, but the sixth trumpet in verse 13. This is interesting, the sixth trumpet. Then the sixth, verse 13, the eighth angel sounded, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which were before God. If you look at drawings of how the altar was set up, there's a small altar there with four horns on it. This is what is being pictured. Saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the river Euphrates. So there's four more angels who've been holding up the river of Euphrates. Or the river. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day of month, so very much, very specific time. What is that time? Again, past my pay scale. I don't know. But when it happens, we'll go, oh, there you go. Prepare for the hour, the day, the month, and the year. Were released to kill a third of mankind. Wow. These armies will now be released. This is what happens in this type of environment. And we heard from Mr. Shamblin, we're just seeing the beginnings of these things. So as we enter into this time of woe, we're going to hear, if we have ears to hear, the trumpet blast. And that's one of the things that this reminds us of here today. For the number of the army, verse 16, of the horsemen was 200 million. Wow. Now we can even get to that number till the turn of the 20th century. And in, there's a billion Chinamen, so they probably add a lot to that number. But you have these huge armies that when they begin to clash with each other, a third of mankind will die. You know, if we pray that this won't happen, but if something happens with North Korea, if I understand what they're saying right, there's going to be high casualties, especially in Seoul, South Korea. It's 25 miles from the DMZ to the capital of South Korea. And no matter what you do, you can't stop all of the missiles from coming in. But apparently they say if they have to do it, then they're just in North Korea. Well, what does China think about that? And all these things. So the trumpet blast are warnings. We need to be aware of these things that are going on. Will this hopefully just pass by, or you know, will he meet up with an unfortunate accident and a new leader takes over? I prefer that to having to have a massive war. But nonetheless, 200 million men, and you mix that type of armies together with the kind of weaponry that we have today, no wonder a third of the human race will die. So this is a difficult, trying time. A difficult, trying time. Okay. So then we go through here in verse 17, and thus I saw horses in the vision. Horses, because they didn't have tanks, they didn't have modern equipment at that time. He wouldn't know. So he saw in the vision horses, war horses, if you will. The vision of those who sat on who had breastplates of fiery red, and then list all how they looked, smoke and brimstone. Then there were three plagues in verse 18. A third of mankind was killed. Another third of the remaining. So a third killed by plague, a third killed by the fighting armies. Verse 19, for their power is in the mouth and in their tails. Appears that these kind of things, what was he describing? Perhaps these modern attack helicopters, we don't know for sure. But if you've ever seen a picture of a helicopter, these modern ones, they launch a rocket. They have a rocket on either side of them. It'll take off and it'll come out the front or the mouth, as he would understand it to be, and it sends out a contrail, if you will, as the engine ignites. And that's what he'd seen. Now, he doesn't know what a helicopter is. He doesn't know, John wouldn't know what these, so he's trying to describe it in a way that he can. And again, a terrible time of warfare coming. So that's what one of the things this day is for, and they would hear trumpet blasts that would give them warnings. They would give them warnings. What are some of the other things that happen here? I don't want to be totally downer, but it would not be truthful if we didn't cover this aspect of it, and that we are slipping into this time of warfare and many other things that we saw in Matthew 24 and other sermons. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians now. First Thessalonians, this is another important part of this day that's coming that we're excited about. Okay? We've talked about these dangerous times and we've just sort of touched upon it, but I want to show you how as these dangerous times come, there were warnings all the time and they come through trumpet blasts. 1 Thessalonians 4, and we're starting verse... let me just start in verse 13 and we'll go up to it. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. John 11, verse 11 describes those who have fallen asleep are those who are dead. Remember John in the Gospel of John, Lazarus dies, and Jesus says, well, he went to sleep. And they say, well, if he sleeps, he'll get better. You know, he thought he was sick. He'd take, you know, rest a little bit and he'd feel better. And Jesus finally had to tell these dunzos, no, he's dead. And I'm glad I wasn't there because I want you to see the glory or the power of God at work here. So he did not go to his friend and heal him right away. He let him die to make a point. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, i.e. died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Again, we've talked about this. We sorrow when a loved one or a member of the church dies, but not as those who have no hope. What is the hope of the dead? The resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 dedicates us out to that. And even here we'll be seeing it as well. For we believe that Jesus died, verse 14, and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who are asleep in Christ. What do you mean, bring with him? Well, let's see what it says. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. So he's quoting, saying, if you remember the Old Testament and other things we've taught you, that we who alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. So he thought he would be alive to see the day of the second coming. Later he knew, well, that's wrong. He knew he's going to be dead. Remember, he says, I'm going to be like a living offering or sacrifice. But anyway, he's saying here, so those people who are alive aren't going to kind of jam up the second coming. Oh, no, wait a minute. We need to get changed. And no, you guys wait. And, you know, because here come the angels and the dead are coming out and now we got to be changed and we're getting all jammed up here. He says, no, there won't be that take place. It's going to happen instantly. God can handle these things. For the Lord himself, verse 16, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, what? And with the trump of God. So there'll be a huge trumpet blast and the dead will hear that trumpet blast, the dead in Christ. How can they do that? Because God gives them a life and this mortal puts on mortality, immortality. I'll get it out yet. The corruption, we have corrupted bodies, we'll put on incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15 and so forth. But anyway, and with the trump of God and the dead in Christ arise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And as you know, when the first century church of God started, when Christianity started, they really believed that Jesus was coming in their lifetime. And now their faith is being shaken because the years are going by and Christ has not come back. And in fact, loyal, faithful people who have served God are now being persecuted to death. Others are dying of illness and sickness and age and all that. And they're getting discouraged. And that's why he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Remember what we taught you? Is that when Christ comes back, they will be resurrected from the dead. And of course, the last chapter of, 1 Corinthians, 15, talks about the resurrection. Okay, now let's take a look at when Christ comes back and we rise in the air, along with the dead in Christ, we rise in the air, we're instantly changed from physical to spirit. So we have spirit bodies. Now we are immortal beings. Well, what happens? So we're going to go meet the Lord. Does Jesus go back to heaven? No, let's go to Zechariah 14, the second to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah 14, and let me just see here. Zechariah 14 and verse 3. And if you look at this, let's start in verse 1. This is the final siege of Jerusalem, and at that time Christ comes back. Remember, it says half the city will be taken. And then, what's happening is Israel, the Jews are people over in Israel, they will be just about to be snuffed out as a nation. And Jesus will come back and stop it. Okay? Behold, verse 1, Zechariah 14:1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. Okay? So they gather in the valley of Jezreel. And that's a valley where they've had more battles than any place in the world. It's a great place for armies to land in, set up. And it's a huge, huge area. There have been more battles there than any other place on earth, believe it or not. And the city shall be taken. Well, let's just start in verse 2. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem, and the city shall be taken by the enemies of Israel. The houses rifled, and again, this you see this constantly. Probably one way to think about it, the viciousness of it, is at the end of World War II, because the Germans had just mistreated so terribly the Russian people. That was a war of annihilation. The Germans wanted to exterminate the Russians because Hitler viewed them as communism was, he thought, founded by Jews, and the Bolsheviks were out there to destroy the great Aryan race. And so he just wanted room to grow, and Russia had it, and they almost won. But when the battle turned around against them, there was huge suffering. The Germans were very, very rough with them. And then towards the very end of the war, Russian troops are coming into Germany, and basically every woman of any age was raped, and many of them murdered. It was a terrible time. And this was what Jesus, we see in the Bible. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and women ravished. This is one way to dishonor your enemies, to defile the women of the country. And it's just a great way to hate your enemy and show nothing but contempt for them. And you can understand from a human perspective, they were interviewing some of the Russian soldiers years and years later. They were in the Battle of Berlin, and they interview them. Some of them had smiles on their face. Said, that's war. Who cares? Terrible. Half the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then, so this, half the city is taken, half of Jerusalem. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, then would my servants fight. But when Jesus comes back and he's establishing his kingdom, then he must fight them, and says, hey, I must have it with a rod of iron. And this is all wrapped up in this day. It isn't just this, but it is an important part of it. Christ has to come back to save humanity. It's right on the verge of extinguishing itself, believe it or not. You know, human beings, I'm kind of a history buff, if you just turn on any history channel, what are you going to hear about? This war here, that war here, this war here, that war here, this, that, that. So I typed into Google, Mr. Google, Mr. Abbott will tell you all about it. Mr. Google, I said, well, how many years of peace has there been in the last 6,000 years? Where there have been no recorded fight and wars going on. And repeatedly it came up, if you look at 6,000 years, there appears to be maybe 300 years where there wasn't war going on somewhere. And there probably was some tribe in some faraway jungle doing it, but they didn't know about it. It's only 300 years. Wow. But if we just fight this war, then we'll have peace. Oh, let's fight this war. And every war that starts, say, we'll be home by Christmas. And, you know, because they all sure these wars are going to be short and sweet, and it just never happens that way. But anyway, you got to get on. Half the city was taken into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off. Verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of the battle, referring to an older battle in the Old Testament. And in that day his feet, remember Jesus comes back with the dead in Christ, and we who are alive and remain meet him in the air, and we're going to be with him. Well, where is he going? Here he tells us. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. That's not in heaven, it's here. He's going to save that city of Jerusalem and then turn his hand to save the rest of humanity. which faces Jerusalem on the east side, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. So when Jesus' feet hit the mountain will cleave in two. From east to west, making a very large valley, half the mountain shall move towards the north and half towards the south. Then you who flee through my mountain valley, they're going to their place of safety, if you will, at that time of the battle. We've got to get through this valley. The people know that. Very physical people. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley. From the mountain valley you shall reach Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. And so he's bringing this up, that this is coming. This is coming. And Jesus comes back. And during this time, there is constant warfare and there's warning. So one thing we can think about ourselves is, what does this day mean for us? And it has a lot of meaning. Jesus is coming back, the resurrection of the dead, the changing of the saints from physical to spiritual. You know, the wedding of the Lamb will come, as it says in Revelation 17, I think it is. We're going to have that. But it's a time of great warfare. And the trumpet blasts are designed, if we have ears to hear, and if whether or not we're in the church now, but people who, if they hear that and they're learning, boy, every time I hear that, the suffering and warfare and plagues get worse, I'm going to repent. And you see that, as I don't have time, but in Revelation it talks about that. There's a silence. God is waiting. Has anybody else repented? Oh, you've repented? Okay. You don't need to go through that anymore. I should have gotten the scriptures for you, but I ran out of time. All right. We're going to go ahead and... what's his name? Robert. Okay. You guys would never understand when you can't remember things. We're going to play that number one right now, another trumpet blast. And this one is usually accompanied with a long trumpet blast, accompanying God's presence, as it says here, when he was about to give the Ten Commandments to Israel, and when he wanted to come publicly before people. Okay. Okay, so they would hear that, but they'd hear it over and over, and you'd develop an ear. You know reveille, if you've been in the service, and you know taps. That's another thing, and so forth. So they would get to know each series, and they'd know, okay, if this is coming from the silver trumpets, which would have a more distinctive sound that we've heard, that means it's coming right from the temple area, and either God is calling the leadership of the 12 tribes, or we're being all called to pay attention, and this one would be used to tell people to come to the temple and so forth. All right, the next one we're going to hear is called a pure, unbroken sound that calls men to search their hearts, forsake their wrong ways, and seek forgiveness through repentance. And again, that would be one that they would hear today. This is a day when they would play a lot of these trumpets. Okay, so let's go ahead and play number two. Short. But again, you'd hear that over and over, this kind of thing would be. And then the number three, a broken staccato. I really don't even know what that means. Anybody, what does staccato mean? I knew that, I was just testing you. Anyway, trembling, it's a sound of trembling. And again, you'd hear that and go, whoa. So every sound, every trumpet, people would know, boy, this is not a good deal. We're getting something's going wrong. We need to pay attention. Okay, let's do that one. Number three. Okay, that kind of reminds me, if you've been in the Navy, when they go to battle stations, you hear this a little bit like that anyway. But anyway, and let's play number four, the last one, which is another one. I'll tell you what it's about when it's done. Okay, when they would hear that, that means that the men needed to gather themselves what they call by a banner of God. And it was this was a time for battle, and denoting that a very dangerous time was coming. So they would, again, you'd hear that over and over and over. So time in time, they would know what all of these different events mean. Well, as we wrap this up, my portion of the sermon, ask ourselves, what is it that we can learn from this day, along with many of the other things we learned about? Well, God wants to call us to a deeper sense of repentance and a deeper sense of service to Him, and in a more obedient walk to Him. Because when we hear the news out there, that should sober us. We don't have to be frightened, but we should be sobered. Boy, you know, God is telling us, if we have ears to hear, this thing is falling apart. This world is falling apart. And people keep thinking, well, if we just elect this guy, then it's going to get better. If we just elect this guy, it's going to get better. This party's going to, no, forget it. Well, if we just fight this enemy, then we'll defeat him. Okay. I don't know what trumpet that was. So, anyway. The only thing that really is going to turn the world around is that Christ is going to come back and establish His government, and we have this opportunity to serve with Him when that happens. But in order for that to happen, we have to listen to the various trumpet blasts in our life, whatever it may be. Are we paying attention? Are we coming to repentance over whatever we need to come to repentance for? Do we need to be more alert? Yeah, I don't want to hear the news. I don't like it either, but you need to kind of know what's going on. And then maybe go back to your Bible and read it and say, you know, you said this time would come. If these days were not cut short, no flesh would be saved alive. That couldn't happen until really around the 1950s when the hydrogen bomb was first detonated. And so we live in a world where actual real nuts have this kind of power at their disposal. So what is it we can learn? We need to learn to listen to the warning trumpet blast in our own lives, and ask ourselves, where do I need to repent more deeply and change my life so I can hear what God has to say, because I've paid attention to the trumpet blast that He's brought into my life.